new year. It is a new year edition of the Audible. John Kanjemi, Kimbo Camper with you. I didn't expect to be here today.
No, I didn't either.
I thought this was going to be an off day, John.
I saw you about 4 hours ago. We were doing pretty good. Yeah. But now we're back at
work. We should have done the show 4 hours ago.
It really would have been more entertaining.
It would have really been good 4 hours ago. I was going to wear my sunglasses because my eyes look like a road map. So, but that's all right. That's all right.
I appreciate it. I feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. John, kind of a, you know, a... The season fizzled to an end, much like 2017. It just kind of fizzled to an end and went away. And here we are now looking forward. And takeaways from the game, I guess first thing you look at is David Fales. Kind of got his chance to audition for a potential backup role next week. And we were just talking about it here. You know, I don't think he did a lot to hurt himself. I don't think he did a lot to help himself. And I think I said in the post game yesterday, I'm not sure that I'm not sure that I'm 100% in. You know, like we talk about, come to training camp, compete for that backup job. But I'm not sure I'm 100% comfortable with David Fales being the backup, especially with Ryan coming off of you know two ACL injuries back to back. As durable as Ryan has been over his career, now you got to look at him in a different light until he goes out there and he puts 16 games on the schedule for you, and you can see his durability again.
Well, especially the way Ryan went down in training camp. It was a non-contact injury, and you want to be able to see him get the full 8 months, nine months, whatever it takes for him to get back. And we were talking before the show, I don't need to see Ryan Tannehill in OTAs. I don't need to see him in any mini camps. Yep. I really don't need to see him the first couple of weeks of training camp because he's going to know what to do.
Yep.
He's a bright quarterback. He's always going to stay in shape. He's going to know what his job is to lead this team because he's done it before. So I just want him to come back and make sure that he goes through anything necessary to get him 100% on the field so that he can go out and protect himself, number one. He can go out and perform for the Miami Dolphins. Now, David Fales is one of those situations where I don't think he did a whole lot either way, Bo, but I was happy to see him get that opportunity.
Yes.
Because the Dolphins need to draft or get in free agency or get an undrafted free agent in someone in here that's young enough to back up a Ryan Tannehill, if that's the scenario that we're looking at, because you're getting nothing but older at that position. And the production at that position, when you look around the league, you have older established guys that are still getting it done, but then you have all a wave of young football players, young quarterbacks that are going to lead their franchises for years to come. So you want either Ryan Tannehill to be that guy, to be able to step in again after a season of injuries, to come in and lead his franchise, or you better go out and draft somebody that can be that guy.
John, drafting a quarterback, I think that's certainly between now and draft day. That's going to be a major topic. I mean, that's going to be what everyone's going to be thinking about. Everyone's going to wonder about. And I'm kind of on the same camp as everybody else. They need to draft a young quarterback. They need to draft a quarterback that can come in and not compete for a backup job, but to compete for that starting job and push
that's
Ryan Tannehill. And look, if you out, you know, bring him in and whoever, you know, whoever wins the job wins the job. I think it's that kind of situation where the Dolphins are in. Now, having said that, John, you look at this draft coming up and the Dolphins have the 11th pick in the draft as that moves forward. I kind of put my mark on fourth round and up. I'd like to see a quarterback come off the board for the Dolphins somewhere in that vicinity.
Well, depending on where they're picking and depending on how the chips fall in front of the Miami Dolphins, and if they stay at 11, they may want to move up and grab somebody.
Yep, yep.
Who knows? I think everything is available for the Miami Dolphins because there's so many different needs on this team that you can feel like you're in agreement that's a good guy at that position. Yep. Let's take him. You know, this is a position of need and that's the best player on the board. Let's take him. And maybe you get there through free agency. Maybe you get there in another way, a trade potentially. So there's a lot of scenarios where the Miami Dolphins can find their guy if it's not Ryan in 2018. But I think it's going to be. I think it's going to start with him.
I don't think there's any question about that.
I think it's going to start with him, and it's going to move on. But you have to find first round, second round, third round, fourth round. I don't care where you get him. It could be the first pick that the Dolphins have. If it's that guy, you know, if it's a Baker Mayfield and you have conviction, take him.
Yeah, I'm
you
with
know,
you on
if
that.
If it's somebody else that's up there that you like, if it's Sam Darnold, if it's Josh Rosen, whoever it is, he's still on the board, you take him.
Yeah. John, you look at all those guys and And to me, and we'll get to see Baker Mayfield play. When they play
tonight.
Tonight, so yeah. We'll get to see him play.
I think
tonight.
Trey said it was 8 o'clock.
He said it was four. Trey said the game
five,
starts.
It's 5 and 8. Three, but Trey said some other.
He said
numbers
it was 3 and 6. But yeah. No, it's
5 and 8.
It's 5 and 8, yeah, right? For the
like
games,
that.
5:20, 8:20, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
So we'll get to see him. And to me, he's the guy that's more. I'm not. I've seen a little bit of Darnold. I've seen a little bit of Rosen. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sold on those two guys. The kid Allen from Wyoming looks like a guy that could be a Carson Wentz type of guy. But you know, you got to weigh the competition he's played against and those types of things. But this guy Baker Mayfield to me is a guy that he's the most intriguing of those guys out there.
He is because he doesn't fit the mold of an NFL quarterback. He's a guy that doesn't have great size, but he's got great elusiveness. He has a strong arm. He can run it. He's tough. He has moxie. He'll get in your face. He is an intriguing character. And the problem, I think, that Baker Mayfield and some of the NFL teams may have to get over is because everybody's putting him in the mold of a Johnny Manziel because he's gotten in trouble off the field, and he's taking responsibility for it, but let's see where that leads, and that's why it's so important to get in a room with some of these quarterbacks and just talk football and just talk social life and just talk about where his priorities are, because those are the things that GMs and a director of football operations and your head coach need to know, because if that guy doesn't have it, you better get somebody else.
So, John, are we at this point, let's take a look at this roster. And instead of saying these are positions of need, let's say which positions really are you kind of set at? I would say you look at wide receiver and you feel, okay, that room is pretty good. You want to see some growth out of Devontae Parker. Carew really didn't do anything during the course of the year to elevate his stock, although Jakeem Grant did.
Right.
So I think you're pretty well set at the wide receiver spot.
I think you are too, Bo, but you have to think about where the question marks are. The Miami Dolphins going to be willing to pay Jarvis Landry.
No, understand.
You know, and that's the big piece of the puzzle, because this guy's led not only the NFL, but the Miami Dolphins in catches the last three
years. I say that assuming that Jarvis is coming back.
Right.
And that's my assumption. My assumption is look, Jarvis didn't do anything to help himself in the negotiation process yesterday with that outburst and that type of thing. And it's funny, you read the papers and everything. They were talking about embarrassing this and that. I want to see my guys have some fight. And maybe it's me. That doesn't bother. The penalties bother me. You know, the
14 penalties for 150 yards bother me.
Yeah,
that part bothers me.
You know, I'd rather see my guys fight for each other
instead of walking away.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't have a
the part is with Jarvis. I'd rather see him do everything before the whistle blows.
Yep.
You know, in between where the whistles blow.
The whistle blows.
But after that's where you get in trouble, and that's where you hurt your team. It's not only hurting yourself; it hurts the team.
So if we're assuming that he comes back, you're feeling pretty good about your wide receiver position. I think your defensive front. I think it's workable with those guys.
I think the two young kids inside did a really good job.
Yep, and you know Cameron Malvo showed up and he played well. So I think you've got enough. I think that's an area.
Linebacker.
So I'm just looking at where you don't need. You don't need receivers.
I don't think you need defensive tackles.
I don't think you need secondary.
Right.
I think you got the two safeties in there. I know Matt Burke talked about finding a hybrid guy to help alleviate some of the issues they've had about with tight ends.
Right.
But I think I think X is proven over the second half of this season that he's a viable guy over there, and that job's his to keep.
Tangersley's going to get better.
Tank's going to get better. You got Lippitt coming back, so you're going to have some competition over there. Bobby McCain's I think that's
Bobby McCain did a really good job.
Very
this
good,
year. Really
so,
good. At
so
nickel.
I think you're kind of safe in that secondary. So between defensive front,
do you get younger
wide
at defensive end? You know, you've got Harris. You've got a young guy in Harris.
And look, I talked to Cam after the game and asked him pretty much point blank, "Hey, are you planning on coming back?" And he's, "Yeah, I am."
Good.
And I don't have a problem with
back to back double digit sack seasons. This is a guy that looks great. He works hard. He's a leader. Yep. I'd love to have a guy like that on my roster.
And look, just based on the way he's played this year, I've watched him every game and he's still bulldozing people. He's still the same guy. I don't see any fall off in the way he's playing. So you get him coming back. So I think it's going to be one of those off seasons where I'm just trying to mitigate that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there's so many holes out there. Well, there are holes, but there are also areas where you're pretty well pat. You can kind of
on offense.
If you can't cover them, you can't cover.
On offense, you feel really good with Kenyon Drake right now.
Absolutely.
As your starter at running back. You felt great with Damian. Now whether he comes back and they split that role, he's a third down guy, whatever it is, you're still going to need another guy.
Yep.
Okay, but you feel pretty good about where you are at running back because of Kenyon Drake in the 5-6 weeks that he's been the starter. He's done a really good job. Durability hasn't been an issue. Ball security really hasn't been a problem. You know, once or twice, tough situations, but he catches the football out of the backfield. He's getting better at pass protection. Yeah. So you can keep him in there first, second, or third down. You feel pretty good. And the explosive play is back with the running game. I think 4 out of the last 5 weeks, he's had a run of 31 yards or greater. Yeah. So this is a guy that gives you some help. It helps out the passing game, helps out pass protection when you have a guy that can be an explosive runner like that.
Yeah, and you talk about I really like the thought moving forward of being able to have Kenyon Drake back there and a Damian Williams.
Yes,
you know, two guys back there that can both catch
the
football,
both do everything,
both run the football, and it really gives you a lot of flexibility and play calling and different things you want to do in that situation. And Adam Gase has talked about how he likes to have two backs in that situation. They'll find a third one out there, whether it's Sonoris Perry or somebody else out there that does some things, but
I think you feel good finding a piece in Jesse Davis that you can move around.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. The thing that maybe concerns me is where the missing pieces are still the missing pieces. Yep. And I don't know if the Miami Dolphins ever got ahead of themselves or even with themselves in terms of the last 3 or 4 years trying to fix a problem that has been glaring that continues to be the sore thumb of the offense.
Yeah. Before we get some questions here, there's a couple things we want to get to. So the schedules are out.
Oh yeah,
not when, but home and away, and so here's where the Dolphins, home and away. Obviously, are going to play the Bills, the Jets, and the Patriots.
Right.
Their home schedule is going to include Jacksonville, Tennessee, Chicago, Detroit,
Oakland, maybe,
and the Raiders. Yeah, I put Detroit, and then I put Lions. So you got
them back to back.
Well, look, it's the morning after New Year's New Year's Eve.
Some whiskey.
So I put them twice. Yeah. So the road games, along with the Bills, Jets, and Patriots, Houston, the Colts, Green Bay, the Vikings, and the Bengals. And every time I look at that road schedule,
I want to go get my parka.
The first thing I look at is what possible cold games do we have on this schedule?
What do I need for the sideline?
That's the first thing.
What do I need for the sideline, right?
Two things that I think about when I look at the road schedule. A1, A2, A3, A4 is, goddamn, how many cold games are we going to have? What are they going to be?
And then isn't it weather and restaurants?
That's it. Number two is what restaurants am I going to go to when I get to that town?
Priorities.
All that other stuff will fall
it's
into
all
place.
BS.
Those are the two things
are the other ones
that are most important thing.
That's a veteran move by the way.
That's right. The other thing is around the league is all the firings. I've got six guys out there.
Yeah.
So I had Jack Del Rio, Raiders, that job's
that
open.
That surprised me a little bit.
It did. Because they played very well. Look, he and Adam Gase were kind of the guys last year. They both had same records this year. Jack Del Rio on the short leash, he's gone. And part of that reason may be Chucky's maybe coming back to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Growl at you a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So the Raiders are John Fox, Chicago. That job's available. Bruce Arians steps down.
That's right. Caldwell was another one.
Jim Caldwell is gone. Ben McAdoo, but that was earlier in the season.
Bad dude.
And Chuck Pagano. So those guys are gone for sure right now, but there's still possibilities for Cleveland, but they've already said that Hugh Jackson's going to stay there. Dallas, I don't see that happening.
I don't see
Jerry Jones said no. Jason's fine. We're not doing them. But Denver possibly with Vance Joseph.
Keep an eye on that one.
And Houston is also a possibility, although they said that O'Brien is going to be
down.
Yes. Yeah. So, but of those, I would think that Cleveland and Denver are probably the two where they're. There could be some movement. I think the other guys are safe.
Yeah, I do too. You feel kind of bad for Vance because he got his first opportunity to go to Denver and be the head coach, and it just seemed like it got worse and worse and worse, and the frustration grew. You don't have a quarterback that you can count on. That means a lot because the defense didn't play up to par, and you lost a lot of home games.
Yeah.
And the fan base is not used to losing.
And you know, that's a team that, what, 2 years ago was in the Super Bowl? Won a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And you know,
now you're
and how the
fast
mighty,
forward.
Right. And here you are. And yeah. So that's yeah, that's going to be an interesting.
That's life in the NFL, isn't it? Gosh, lately it seems like you go from the peak, the pinnacle of where you want to be as an organization.
It has become so volatile week to week, right?
Yeah.
And then season to season.
I know.
The volatility of the, you know, it used to be, you know, when you get it to, you know, where you're a situation where you're a 9, a 10, 11 wins, you're going to roll that for a while.
That's right.
Now, team goes out and wins 11 games the next week. Next year, they may go out and win 5.
You know, it's amazing. That's why you have to give credit to teams like New England and Pittsburgh, you know, even Green Bay, you know, organizations that have a head coach, they have a staff, they have a philosophy, they have consistency at quarterback. Yep. They have greatness, really, at quarterback. Yep. And everybody else just has guys.
Yeah.
You know, New Orleans has a quarterback, but they, as a team, they haven't been very good.
Yep.
You know, you have a chance. Atlanta has a chance. They have a quarterback. They went to the Super Bowl last year. They're back in it this year. So, but if you have a quarterback, you've got a chance. Yep. You have an elite quarterback, you've got a really good chance, because that means you got a pretty good team around you.
Yeah, I talk about the league becoming more volatile year to year. The fact that having a good quarterback is imperative for you to be successful becomes more and more clear than it. I mean, every year I think you see how much more important it is to have that quarterback, that guy that can get the job done for you and get you in there. And like you said, you can pick four or five teams and that have, look at it, but you got a good quarter. Look at Russell Wilson, the Seahawks don't make.
They're on the outside.
Look at where they're at. Yeah, I mean, so
you even got
teams, you know, Philip Rivers continue trying to take that team into the playoffs so you have very good quarterbacks out there that can't even get their teams into the postseason now. But
they're always in the conversation.
But you look at the teams that are in the postseason, and you look at a lot of pretty damn good quarterbacks.
You know what?
I'm surprised
at Minnesota. That's the one team with Case Keenum. Good quarterback, good football team, but I thought they overachieved in a season you had a chance in the NFC if you know, just getting in.
Yep.
And now they're one of the better teams on that side of on that side of the league.
Good defensive team, do a lot of good things for you. Good running game if
play at home.
Yep. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on. What do you say? So before we move on, let's go ahead and get some questions out
here.
Yeah,
let's do it.
El Chapo.
He's always in, even on New Year's Day.
My man,
Chapo.
He's like consistent.
That's what we're trying to get to.
We draft 11. Any early predictions for the position we may draft? Well, that's kind of what we were talking about a little earlier.
Yeah.
I think you look at, you know, to me, it's quarterback, it's linebacker, it's tight end, and it's offensive lineman. Those to me are the magic fixes for me.
I agree with that, Bo. And you know, if you're at 11 and you stay there, gosh, you're going to get a good football player.
Yes,
you know, you're going to get one of the guys that everybody wants and covets in the National Football League. So I just think that you can roll the dice. If there's an O.J. Howard at tight end like there was last year for Tampa Bay to scoop up, if there's a quarterback that you really covet and he's still on the board, if there's a linebacker that's a guy that's a run and cover guy that can mesh well with McMillan, who's coming back off of an ACL, you feel like you've gotten better at that position. There's a number of things the Dolphins can do there.
And I've said this before, I'll say it all through the offseason until they come to the draft. Like, if you're committed to a guy, you know, forget where he's projected to go in the draft.
Take him.
You know, if you committed on this guy in the first round, at the 11th pick in the draft, and this guy's here, and you're looking at that guy, and you go, man, I really like that guy, but everyone's got him as a third-round pick, but you believe in that guy, take the damn guy, put him on your team, and go with him.
Yeah, you know? Because you have to have conviction. You have to be able to do things that other people might not think are popular, but if you feel that it's going to improve your organization and team, you take them.
And how many times over the years have you had this conversation after the draft?
We should have.
Well, man, we really like that guy, but we thought we could get him in the fourth round, you know, and then two picks before someone took him.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you take him in the third round when you knew you could get him then, if you believed in that guy that much? That's kind of the philosophy that I'm moving more towards.
Hey, good news, though, for the draft. Pick 11th. Ooh, quick show.
We'll be done early this year.
That'll be nice.
Why have we been so successful with onside kicks this season? I think the Dolphins have had four.
We've had four.
Four successful onside kicks. One reason we've been so successful is because we've been behind in so many games, and we've had to onside kick to try to get back at the end of the ball game. But
I like the fire drill. Rizzi's kind of dialed up.
But more seriously on why we've been successful with onside kicks is just that, Darren Rizzi. I think he spends a lot of time on it, very creative. And you know, we saw a few different kind of onside kicks this year. The New England just kind of let the ball roll down a little bit. You know, that wasn't very good.
The
thing.
Bent green
and
roll,
and then the Dolphins like the little Harlem Globetrotter weave before they kicked the ball. That was pretty interesting.
That's
cool. Well, yeah, I think Darren Rizzi. I think the one thing about him, I think when it comes to special teams, they go over everything. They're not missing any boat, and they're going to be ready for every situation out there. So
absolutely, and that's one of the reasons the team has a chance.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know you feel like the kicking game. They did a really good job, and it, probably when you make the change at kicker, that was a bold move.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, at the time that they did, and it worked out perfectly.
Yep. Trey Bay, is that my man Trey back there throwing in? He's throwing in a little bit of this is an outside the office Trey. Okay.
Maybe it's one of Trey's bays.
It may be he don't got no bay, man.
No.
Come on. He's still
giving
I'm hoping Trey, that's one of
you, bro.
One of the things I'm looking forward in 2018 is Trey hooking up with a nice young lady, you know?
You think so?
Yeah. I think that's what I think is important this year. For him to hook up with a nice young lady. Someone's got some cash.
Well,
someone got a nice car, right? Dress is nice. Got a nice little shape to her, although he likes him a little plump.
I've heard that.
And there's nothing wrong wrong with that. You know.
Hey, if you're conviction, you need conviction.
Yeah, just go.
Hey, I just saw something pop up on my phone. Vance Joseph will return after a 5-11.
So
record.
Denver, you can
scratch,
check them off the list.
The list.
So anyway, Trey Bay, not Trey without a Bay. Trey Bay, who was your biggest surprise this season? You know. To me, pretty easy. Kenyon Drake, I think, was a big surprise. And you know, first of all, the big surprise was trading Jay Ajayi. Kind of came out of nowhere, and then you kind of go, "Oh, geez, you got two young guys back there." And I think Kenyon Drake certainly alleviated whatever anxieties you may have had with the trade of Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he came out of nowhere, and he had to. You know, this is a guy that they probably wanted to get more playing time, and Jay Ajayi gave him a reason to play him more. And it really is going to work out for both players because Jay Ajayi is on a team that could win the Super Bowl and he could play a pivotal role. And you know, if he gets 10 carries, 5 carries, 20 carries. But Kenyon Drake's a guy that I think the Dolphins can rely on now going into 2018, knowing they have a home run hitter back there that's durable, tough. He'll get the tough yards, but he'll also, you know, be able to use that speed and vision to get outside.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing about him, too, not only was he the biggest surprise, but I think we saw him grow with every carry, with every game.
He got better.
He got better as a season. And I think he got better. Look, we knew he could break the one. I think where his big improvement to me came was in those tough yards, those 3 to 5 yards, just grinding out.
And the pile
out.
Kept moving.
Yes.
And he kept moving forward. He never rarely got knocked backwards, which was great. And I think you're right, Bo. I didn't characterize him when I looked at him going, I don't know, I'm a little squeamish about him going in between the tackles and taking that pounding. Shoot, he was bouncing through the other side, 4 yards, 5 yards. Yep. That's what you like to see in an NFL back.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And I would say the other thing probably is, you know, the late emergence of Jakeem Grant.
That was nice to see.
Yeah, that was a nice little boost at the end.
If it were me, if I would have been coaching this team, I'm not so sure if Jakeem Grant would have still been on the roster to give him that opportunity because I kind of had my mind made up on what type of player he was. Boy, did he prove me wrong.
Yep.
This is a guy that if you get him the ball in a little bit of a space, a little bit of a cushion, he can do a lot of things. Get him on option routes. Get him on not only the go routes. You can move him outside. You can move him inside. Hand him the football, pitch him the football. He proved me wrong in my evaluation.
Much like Kenyon Drake to me, very surprised at his ability to gain yards in traffic.
Yes.
With a lot of people around him.
You know, bouncing off of tackles.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of felt like he had to be a guy that was out there by himself. But we saw with those little screens that they threw to him and stuff that he can do that.
He worked extremely hard at being able to be an option in the punt return game and the kick game. But not only did he do that, I think his biggest improvement was catching the football cleanly and then doing something after he had the football.
Yep, no doubt. Tweets from Kansas City sent this in. Vance Joseph reported to be returning to the Broncos. We already brought that out there. Alice Red Plum, how do we become more disciplined? That to me, right there,
is a big one.
That word right there is, they should, that should be
on every door.
On every door, on every player's locker, on every piece of paper that they're given this year, everything, every your playbook, whatever, be more disciplined. That to me, you know, when you've got so many penalties, when you've got so many turnovers, when you've got such a, you know, such a, when you've been so inept at converting third downs and keeping the other team from converting third downs, and penalties that have allowed both to happen, allowed you not to convert on third downs after you've made a first down, get a call back, or on the defensive side where you get the holding penalty after stopping them on third downs and letting them continue to go. Those are the things that to me, those are discipline areas right there.
Well, I'm not so sure where we rank as a team in penalties, but I'm just guessing.
We've
got to be close to last, if not last.
Yes.
And that can't happen when you're a 6-10 football team. Even if you're 500, those are different. Those are, you can't get the 150 yards back in a game that you lose 22-16, that you have a chance to win at the end of the game. Those are hidden yards that you can never get back. And the Dolphins have done that, I would say, over 50% of the time this year. They've lost in terms of penalties, in terms of yardage, in terms of being able to not overcome those things, pre-snap or in special teams or holding calls or personal fouls after the whistle. Those things can't happen. I would say team before me and discipline will be on everything that I see next year.
No doubt about it, because it's got to get better. Look, I mean, you start the game. This wasn't a penalty, but you start the game with a negative 4 yards. You know, your first play, you lose 4 yards. That goes nowhere. You go 3 and out. You punt, and that kind of just sets a tempo for the whole day. But you know, it's the frustrating thing about it, and the thing about the discipline with these guys is that, you know, it was
accountability.
Like you look at virtually every loss that the Dolphins had, you can put your finger on three things:
turnovers,
penalties, and mental errors. Those three things, and all those three things really are pretty easily fixable.
If I'm a player, I should be able to fix that.
Yeah, myself.
Right?
Take it on myself.
Or we got to get other players.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. So how do you become more disciplined? I think there's got to be a commitment by every guy out there that, look, I'm not going to be involved in this.
It's not going to be me.
Stuff. No, yes.
That hurts the team.
Yeah, yeah. Who do you guys like tonight in the college semis? Clemson, Alabama?
I don't know, man. That's the trilogy. This is going to be a good one. I'm kind of pulling for Clemson.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see – I like both Georgia and Oklahoma, but I'd like to see Oklahoma kind of get over the hump and see what they can do.
I'm just saying, Oklahoma to me is just with Baker Mayfield being sick or whatever.
Yeah.
Saw him in a press conference yesterday, I think it was.
Didn't sound good.
And so that'd be my only thing with Oklahoma. I like Georgia too.
Georgia can play keep away too. They got two talented backs.
Clemson, Alabama. I just think, look, I'm not a Nick Saban guy, so I'm never. Yeah. I like Alabama per se.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't like Nick. So I'm always happy to see him with that look on his face when he finally realizes we're not going to win this game.
It's not a good look.
And the camera goes to him. It always makes me smile when I see that look on his face. But having said that, I like Clemson a lot. I think they're a great football team. But I think Alabama's got that chip on their shoulder. And I think that chip has been weighing them down all year long. And they're looking at that Clemson team and they're saying, man, this is payback time. And that to me
should be a great game.
It should be very, very good.
I think whoever has the ball last is going to win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, John. So here we are, new year, new season, got a new schedule we're looking at.
Man, it's disappointing not being in the playoffs.
It is. It's just frustrating. You know, after dipping your toe in the water last year in the playoffs and thinking you're going to come back as a team that's got like a little bravado to them, hey, we are a playoff team.
Yeah.
It's been frustrating. And you know what? It's frustrating for the players, frustrating for the coaches.
Everybody affiliated with the organization. Yeah. I mean, I don't care if you make lunch here.
Yeah.
You know, if you have an affiliation with the Miami Dolphins, you feel like you're part of it.
Yeah.
And you want the team to win. You're trying to will the team to win. And it's going to be a long offseason waiting to get the next opportunity to go out and win.
And, you know, people, I hear people and you read stuff or you look at comments and stuff and they're just casting it. I bet you I had four people yesterday during the game on the sideline walk up to me and go, yeah, they need to get rid of everybody and start all over again. And I'm going, really?
Can't happen.
Really? I mean, but I think people really do think that way. And look, it was tough this year, but still as inconsistent as this football team was this year, John, and I'm tired of talking to everyone that's watched this show and follows this program, I still don't think we're that far away. I really don't think this football team is that far away because of what we just talked about, because of the penalties, the things that are easily fixable. I think we got plenty of good players in this football team, but they've got to figure out a way how to clean things up and play to where they were expected to play to their potential.
I think so. It can't be so much up and down.
No.
We had so much up and down. You have a great game 1 week, you play mediocre the next week, and then you flat out play terrible the week after. And the outcome could be three losses or 1-2 or 2-1. You never know, depending on your opponent. So I think the stuff that the Miami Dolphins can control, if those intangibles get better, the Dolphins will have a chance, a better chance at being successful in 2018.
One thing I do know between now and the time the Dolphins open up the season next year, the offseason is going to be interesting, man.
It always is.
And the NFL has found a way to make
every property,
their business, everybody's business, 12 months a year. So we got the playoffs coming up, going to the Super Bowl, which is always a great time of the year. And then after that, man,
it's off to the races.
Pro Bowl, Senior Bowl, Combine, all those things,
the draft.
Free agency, and it's not going
to... OTAs.
We'll
be knocking at the door before you know it.
It's going to be an interesting... we're not sure what our situation is here, if we're going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or what that is, but we'll keep you updated on that. Hopefully, we're out here a lot and talking to you guys a lot, but anyway, that's going to do it for the program,
hey,
John.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year,
Happy New Year to
everyone
everybody
out there, and hope you guys had a good New Year's celebration last night, and wish everyone the best in 2018. Wish the Miami Dolphins the best in 2018. That means if the Dolphins have their best in 2018, all you fans are going to have a good Dolphin 2018. So we'll hope for that and see what happens. That's going to do it for today. We'll be back on Wednesday. Have a good couple days. We'll see you then.